for the chance to gather and to worship and study. And thank you, God, so much for the immense, wonderful tools that are available to us today to help us know you, to help us know your word. God, may we not neglect the gift of the tools that you've given us, but delight in them and enjoy them and spread them throughout the world as we are able. And so may we bless our time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a conclusion to this study of how to go deep in your daily devotions, I tacked on to the end a lesson about additional resources that you can use. And I want to just walk you guys through some of those resources. Before we do, let me just say a couple things. One is that if all you have is a Bible, and we speak English, so an English Bible, you're good. You're going to be okay to study God's Word and go deep in the Scriptures. You don't need anything else. Everything else is just bonus. It's helpful. It's good. I never want to give the impression that you need to have good resources in order to study the Bible. You just need a Bible. And you need to be devoted to the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, which teaches you. And so all the resources we'll talk about today are bonus. These are just helpful things that we have in our possession. You have to think about where we sit in history. For one, books are easily printed, right? The printing press invented in the 16th century, late 15th century, early 16th century, allows us to reproduce books at a rapid rate. And we should never underestimate the blessing of the ability to print books. I like church history, and when I read ancient history and think the only way for people to have a Bible was for somebody to hand copy it, it is pretty spectacular what's available to us as we sit. So we want to be thankful for where we're at in history. The other thing that we need to be grateful for is where we sit in the world. You know, the United States of America, really the what we might call the developed world, we have the blessing of many, many resources. It's a bit ridiculous how many Bible translations we have, but it's a huge blessing. There are, I could recommend off the top of my head, probably 6 or 7 solid Bible translations. You grab these Bible translations, they're good. And then there's a bunch of others that maybe not are rock solid for study, but are good and useful for all sorts of other things. And so we have a huge blessing of Bible translations. We have a ridiculous amount of resources, almost to the extent that some of the resources I'll talk about today, and as we look at other things, like part of the problem is you have to not just find resources, you have to be able to weed through the bad ones to get the good ones. There are so many good resources to help us study the Bible. There are also so many bad resources to help us study the Bible. So a couple people just came in. So we're on lesson 12, last lesson of our deeper devotions, and we're going to be talking about how to build a good theological toolbox, a good Bible study toolbox. And some of these are in your little booklet notes, and I'll walk you through a few things that can help you out. But I just want to, before we go, just emphasize again, we should be grateful for where we sit in history and in geography. We have an abundance of resources available to us. We have a printing press, and of course the printing press is, you know, now an archaic technology, but we have the ability to reproduce books rapidly. I could write a book this week and have it printed in your hands next week. Like, that is, if people 1,000 years ago knew that we could do this, they would say, why would you not have books? Why would you not read books? Why would you not study? And because they would just think this is so amazing. And then just geographically, you know, you have to realize, brothers and sisters around the world, Christians, real Christians walking the earth today would do anything to get their hands on a Bible. Just anything to get their hands on a Bible. You can go get one at the dollar store. Like, so we got to make sure we keep the ourselves grateful for what we have. And along those lines, I will mention, if you ever have an interest, there's numerous organizations, but one that I know and support and love called the Gospel Coalition. And the Gospel Coalition has something they call theological famine relief. And what they do is they take good resources, like some of the ones I'll mention today, they translate them into languages that are where people don't have access to theological resources, and then they reproduce them, and then those of us in the West that have resources are able to buy resources, books in languages for people, send them to places like China and Africa so that people can get their hands on good stuff. So if you have an interest in helping With theological famine relief around the world, there's opportunities. So let's dive in. I'm essentially trying to ask the question today, if you want to build yourself a little bit of a library at your home that will help you with Bible interpretation, what can you do and where should you go? And so I'll walk you through resources from most important to least important. Most important, we'll start with the Bible. You need a good Bible. There are, as I said, we have so many resources available to you. If you want to get serious about Bible study, I would encourage you, get yourself a good Bible. Because of our abundance of resources, you can find Bibles with the right type, size of font, the right, you know, if you want wide margins, if you want notes on the notes on the side, cross references on the bottom. But a good Bible with maps is essential. And also, if you're like me and you're hard on things, a good binding is essential. You can get this happens to be a sewn binding with a leather cover. This thing I should be able to pass on to my kids. But I'm a little hard on Bibles, so maybe not. But you can go buy a cheap Bible, like I said, at the dollar store. You can get nice Bibles that will last you a long time. But if you're going to study the Bible seriously, this is really all you need. Okay, this is need. Everything else is want, right? Everything else is bonus, as I said. So let's keep talking about different resources. So if I were to say, okay, you say I want to buy one book to help me with my Bible study, what would I recommend? I would probably recommend to you getting a study Bible. This is an ESV study Bible. And let's see if I can get it out of here. If you aren't familiar with a study Bible, here's how these often work. They will have the Bible text on the top and study notes on the bottom. And what's great about these study notes, they are short, they are very to the point. And so if you wonder, well, what does this mean? Or maybe there's a historical reference here I don't understand. Oftentimes, just reading a couple sentences in the bottom will answer this for you. If you want to, like I said, take a next step, a study Bible is a great resource. Another good benefit that study Bibles have is at the beginning of books, they will give you an introduction. For instance, I just turned to the book of Zephaniah. You can read who the author was, when it was written, what are some of the major themes, what's the background information, and this will help orient you as you're studying. And so sometimes before you read a book of the Bible, especially if it's maybe one that you don't feel you're very familiar with, taking an extra 10 minutes to read the introduction will get you a long ways. It will help you to read it rightly, and there's, of course, outlines there. This one, the ESV Study Bible, even has colored maps. That's kind of cool. In there, key themes for you to look for. And also along the way, you'll find various charts and maps. As I said, for instance, here's a chart in the book of Acts that says God's sovereignty and salvation seen in the book of Acts, and it'll give you a few that you can look at. A study Bible is a great resource. And I recommend it in your notes. I recommend the ESV Study Bible. I think it's probably the best one on the market today, but that I'm biased, so I'm happy with that. I think the MacArthur Study Bible is another excellent, excellent resource. Beyond that, there are bunches and bunches of little study Bibles with all sorts of different flavors. Somebody just gave me a copy of the Spurgeon Study Bible, which has all the footnotes are just quotes from Charles Spurgeon's sermons and writings. And it's probably not like super awesome for study, but it is fun to read, especially if you, like me, you like Spurgeon. So I would, recommend a study Bible. And if you have questions along the way, feel free to interrupt me. I'm just going to roll through a lot of resources. But probably the next important resource that I would encourage you to get is a Vines Expository Dictionary of the Old and New Testament, just commonly known as Vines. And Vines is really cool because you can look up words. Vines is usually keyed to the King James Version, as you find a lot of Bible resources are, because the King James Version's been around for a long time. But you can look up a word, and it will tell you all the different forms. For instance, if I want to know about the New Testament use of the word love. Now, this is going to tell me of the word love. This is going to tell me the various forms. And so there's verbs, there's nouns, and just verbs and nouns with loves. But it's careful because there are probably more Greek words and other references, but this just uses the Bible to give you the notes on how this is used in the Bible. So for instance, the first word, and it gives you the Greek word. You can learn a little bit about the original language, agapao, and it says this corresponds to agape, present, quote, the characteristic word of Christianity, and since the spirit of revelation has used it to express ideas previously unknown, inquiry into its use, whether in Greek literature or in the Septuagint, throws but little light on its distinctive meaning in the New Testament. So, translation, the word love, agape, or agapao in the New Testament is unique, uniquely used in Christianity. So sometimes it'll tell you, well, in ancient Greek literature, this is how the word was used, and so this is how we know its meaning. And it gives you a few paragraphs on the various forms of love and how it's used in the Bible. It'll give you different parts of speech if you like grammar. A Vine's dictionary is absolutely essential. Well, I shouldn't say that. No, Bible's absolutely essential. A Vine's dictionary, if you're going to buy anything else other than maybe a study Bible, I would get yourself a Vine's dictionary. Probably could find these at Goodwill. They are all over the place. We have a couple in our church library that you can borrow. This one included is from our church library. If you are technologically inclined, there's a Vine's dictionary app. And you can just, it's a free app. You can download onto your phone or your tablet and you can search within Vine's dictionary. And the last in sort of the essential tools, if you want just the most basic Bible study library, pick up a Jesus Storybook Bible. This is a children's Bible, storybook Bible, and I give you a couple different ones, the Jesus Storybook Bible or the Gospel Storybook Bible. This has about 40 stories in it. I think the Gospel Storybook Bible has 160 stories in it. And these take the stories from the scriptures and they put them into storybook form for children with cute little colored pictures along the way. Now, why would I want you to get a children's Bible? Why would I tell you to get a storybook Bible? What do you think? Anybody have a... Teresa, she knows my philosophy. What do you think, Dale? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it helps you to understand it if you're new. It gives you good perspective. I'm not going to do this, but if I said, okay, over the next hour, I want you to sit down and just tell me the story of the Bible. Like, I think for most Christians, that would be pretty intimidating. Beginning to end, tell me the story of the Bible. That, for most of us, would be like, okay, God created everything. I know that. Maybe I can get through kind of the flood. Maybe I can get Adam and Eve and down to Noah and then Abraham. But maybe things start to get fuzzy past there. Like, the Bible's a big, long, complex book. And when you crunch it down into 30 or 40 stories, and good books like the Jesus Storybook Bible and the Gospel Storybook Bible that help show what we call the meta-narrative of the Bible, the big overarching themes and how everything fits together. And so you might read 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and think, I cannot keep track of the timeline. But do you at least understand why there were different kings and why there was a split kingdom and what God was doing in Israel in that time? Something like this will help simplify that and condense that. I would recommend for any adult, even if you don't have children or grandchildren, everybody to get a storybook Bible at some point, read through this. Of course, you can find digital versions of these as well. Just to help you get a big picture of the Bible. That is an invaluable resource. Because we're trying to talk about how to build an interpreter's library. If you want to be a good interpreter of the Bible, you need to know at least the basic storyline of the Bible. It helps you see things rightly in their context. So there you go. If I were to say you got to spend, you know, you want to go out and spend $100 and get yourself a great interpreter's library, a good Bible, a study Bible, a dictionary, and a children's Bible, you'd get yourself set up. And that probably would be all you would need for a good library. Everything else is just even more bonus, wonderful things that are available to us. So any questions so far?
I just want to say I borrow my friend's Living Bible we gave him to his mom. And I don't want to give it back. I use it here sometimes when you're reading, and it's just so close, and it's so easy, and it's so wonderful to you.
Yeah, there are some great translations like the NIV and the New Living Translation that are great for reading and for just kind of getting a general big picture. I would not recommend them for deep study. That I would probably go more to the ESV or the NASB or the King James or the New King James, but still very good, solid translations and good for reading. And then the new Living and the NIV as well. And then mm-hmm. Yeah, just for sitting and reading, they are very, those translations can be very helpful. Things like the Living and the new Living, I would recommend. And there's another one that just came out called the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. That's good. Yeah, it's good. It's solid. Yeah, it's the Southern Baptist's translation. That's what the CSB is. The Southern Baptist Convention was paying a lot of money to Zondervan to use the NIV. It was more economical for them to just pay for to have their own translation done. So thus the what used to be called the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which the Holman Christian Standard was a little bit recklessly translated, a little bit just hastily done, and then they have updated it to now the Christian Standard Bible, which is an excellent translation. So what if you want to go deeper and bigger and build a bigger library? Well, let me offer two suggestions. One, get yourself some Bible software. And I could put it up on the screen, but for about $250, you can get a pretty basic Bible software that you can use on computer, on a mobile device to help enhance your Bible study. You'll get resources oftentimes like Vines for free, or other good dictionaries like Strong's we'll talk about here in a minute, and you'll get lots of basic resources that are easy to use digitally. If you want to get Bible software, I would definitely recommend talking to somebody that has Bible software, like me, and I can maybe walk you through what you're getting into. I don't have very complex Bible software, but there's other people I'm sure you could find too, because it's a bit intimidating. But it is a more economical way to build a good library. And so software is good, helpful. Now, if you are more like me and you prefer books over software, you can spend as much money as you want building a theological library. It can get a little ridiculous, which is okay. It's a reason why pastors oftentimes have lots of bookshelves and we're a little bit book nerds, is because there are so many good books out there for us to use in studying the Bible. And so I'll walk you through some ones that you should probably consider along the way, if we wanted to move from essential tools to very useful tools. I'll start with what's called a commentary. And these are what I would call a whole Bible commentary. So this is the whole Bible in a single volume. And this is, if you think like these study notes in the ESV or in a study Bible, compiled into one book. And so usually it's a little bit longer notes on each verse of the Bible, or each section of the Bible, but it's just somebody, some scholar or some pastor's notes throughout the whole Bible. And so whether these are little sermons that they've recorded or devotional ideas or just basic historical knowledge or interpretive knowledge, a commentary can be really helpful, especially if you're studying something you go, I don't get it, or I have a question about this, I don't understand this. Going to a commentary can be very helpful in those regards. And a whole Bible commentary, there are a ton of these available. The most classic is probably Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible. You can buy Matthew Henry in one volume. It's a big, thick, hefty volume. We don't have it here. I have it on my software. Yeah, it's a big volume. It's pretty, I mean, again, probably could find those at Goodwill if you're looking around. Matthew Henry was a Puritan. He's been around for hundreds of years. You can find Henry's. Another good one I like is Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. That one you probably won't find at a yard sale, but you can find that pretty readily available. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary on the whole Bible. These, again, are in your notes for you to check out. I think I would recommend, first and foremost, because Matthew Henry can be a little tricky to read, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. John MacArthur has a whole Bible commentary, and that just came out recently, and there's a bunch more. There's a bunch of them out there. Getting something like this takes you a little bit deeper than a study Bible, but still manageable. You'll see why here in a second. The next tool I would recommend if you want to just keep building your library is a Strong's Concordance. Strong, this is This was my dad's old Strong Concordance that now lives in our church library, but Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. And has anybody ever used a Strong's Concordance? Cheryl's used a Strong's Concordance. What Strong's does is, let's say you're studying, and we've already used this word, you're studying 1 Corinthians 13, and you come across this nice word, love. And you wonder, I wonder what the whole Bible teaches about love. It would be awesome if I could look up every Bible verse that uses the word love. Now, if you start reading in Genesis and you start making note every time there's a word love, that would be a fun study, but it's going to take you a long, long time. This is where Strong's becomes helpful. Strong's, you can look up a word like love, and this is the Strong's Exhaustive, and it will give you every single reference in the Bible that uses the word love. Again, Strong's corresponds to the King James Version. So if you're using some other version, that's fine. It will probably get you at least close. Love's pretty universally translated in newer ones. But golly, I'm just turning page after page of the word Lord, trying to find the word love. Here we go. Love starts on page 637 and goes through 639. So numerous pages, pages and pages. And the tiny little print, and it'll tell you, this can be a little hard to read, it'll give you all the references. And so Strong's can be really helpful if you are not technologically inclined and you say, what's that verse that says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us that we might be called sons of God? I can't remember where that's found. Where is it? Well, you could look it up in Strong's. You could look up the word love and you could find, is it 1 John 4:4? No, that's not 4:4. It's in 1 John. I can't remember where. If you're technologically inclined, just Google, behold, what manner of love, and it'll come up. That's what I do, and I would just use it on Google or whatever search engine. A Strong's, though, is a very, very, very helpful resource. And again, you can find Strong's at Goodwill. These have been published for decades, and they're readily available, and they're free online at all sorts of different resources online if you look up Strong's Concordance. I find this is where I like Bible software, because I like to just be able to click on a word and see all the references instead of flipping through a book. So there's your, I think this is where I would go. This is kind of your second tool tier. If you're gonna pick up a couple more books to help you in your Bible study library, pick up a good whole Bible commentary and pick up a Strong's Concordance. That will push you further and further. And you probably will never in your lifetime exhaust the use of these. Most of these, and then from here on out, we're talking about what we would call reference books. No, most people don't sit down and read these things cover to cover. We're using them to refer to as needed. So if you want to go really big, you want to start building an awesome theological library, and you want to go into just deeper and deeper into different aspects of Bible study, I'm going to show you where you can go from here. And we could go a lot of different directions. I try to just give you some basic things in your notes, but these are what I would call occasionally useful tools. And one, we'll call this a lexicon. A lexicon is very similar to a dictionary, but it has a lot more to do with the use of a word in a language. And lexicons will go beyond the use of a word in the Bible. So, for instance, this is a nice little analytical Greek lexicon. And here's the trick. You have to be able to read some Greek to be able to use a book like this. And so probably unless you are – it's not hard to learn to read a little Greek. Like, you probably need to know the alphabet. And you'll find that if you use a lexicon, it can be helpful. So a lexicon like this is just super simple, and it'll tell you the various ways a word's used in the various parts of speech that it can be used in. So if you want to study a little bit in the original languages, picking up a lexicon is good. I don't even give you recommendations in your notes because they're so obscure. I just don't think you're going to go there. If someone really wants, like if you go, I just really want to know a ton about this Greek word, just come ask me, and I have a 10-volume New Testament dictionary that I will be happy to find the word for you, copy the pages so that you can read them, or rather loan you the book so that you can take it home, and you can read 20 or 30 pages on the word agape that maybe was translated love. and you'll get to read about all of its different uses in Greek culture and Greek writings. You can learn about how it's translated from Hebrew into Greek. So when you translate the Old Testament into the New, in Jesus' day, he very likely used a Bible called, we call now the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And so in that big dictionary set, you can read about how the Septuagint translates Hebrew words into Greek and how that affects the meaning. You can go really deep. Maybe just this is my preference, but I think most pastors that I know as well don't use that stuff that much. Like, I just don't use that stuff that much. It's more for the academy than it is for practical use. But sometimes curiosity will help you go deep, and sometimes you can just be like to study things. And so a lexicon can be good, but that's going to tell you how a word was used in its original language, whether Greek or Hebrew. Beyond that, there's a lot of other useful tools. A lot of them come in the form of commentaries. And so I'm going to show you three different types of commentaries. The first I'll show you is what I would call a technical commentary. So a technical commentary is going to be a scholar's approach to a book of the Bible. They're going to tell you, if you really want to know how Greek words or Hebrew words work, I use commentaries, technical commentaries instead of lexicons, because these guys are actually experts and I am not an expert. So if I can look at an expert's take on how a word was used in the Bible, an expert's take on history, on grammar, on cultural issues, on modern interpretive issues and translational issues, a technical commentary is very helpful. This is a commentary on the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Just, I think the volume in Matthew from this commentary was like 1,100 pages. So this is the New International Commentary, 800 pages on three New Testament letters. So Paul's, what are those, a total of 13 chapters, 14 chapters, 800 pages. If you want to just go deep and start wading through some mud, the New International Commentary on the New Testament and the Old Testament is the best, I think. Personally, every book that I've read this commentary in, I love, and is usually one of the highest recommended. It's about $1,500 for the Old New Testament set. So I buy them one volume at a time because I don't have that sort of shelf space in my library nor in my wallet. So, but these are great technical commentaries. You can see on most pages, at least in this volume, and are half the page is footnotes as they're telling you all sorts of different information about culture, history, Greek words, contemporary scholarship issues. But you have a question, it's probably going to be answered in a book like this. If you want a little bit more simple approach, there's other technical commentaries. The Pillar series is a great series, and I mentioned that in your notes as well. That will give you, this is on the tiny little letters of 2 Peter and Jude, so four chapters of the New Testament, so still quite a substantial amount of information. I think the Pillar's easier to read, but it doesn't always go as deep on the technical information. So there are, again, an abundance of whole Bible commentaries. I literally have books in my office that are book-length reviews of all sorts of different commentaries. So it gets a little silly, as I said. But like when I just got resources for, I'll be preaching through Habakkuk, then I'm preaching through Titus. Like I have to pick. I can only buy so many resources. I can only read and reference so many resources. And so there are useful. D.A. Carson does a commentary on New Testament commentaries, and he'll tell you which ones are the best and which ones what's wrong with this commentary and critique various ones. And oftentimes the Pillar and the NICNT and the NICOT, the Old Testament, these are the ones that are almost always highly recommended for technical commentaries. If technical just sounds exhausting to you, but you really want to go deep in a book of the Bible, then you can kind of go two other directions. One is what I would call a single author commentary or a devotional commentary. So a single author commentary is where one person takes it upon themselves to write a commentary, a long commentary on, say, the whole New Testament or on numerous books. So the one that I recommend is the MacArthur New Testament commentary. So again, MacArthur on the book of Titus, three chapters long, Titus is three chapters. Mark MacArthur's commentary is 170 pages on the book of Titus. Much of the MacArthur commentary set, and I do believe the whole New Testament is available now, are transcripts of his sermons that are edited down. And what I like about MacArthur is it's easy to read. It's very thorough. So if you want to just, you say, oh, I really want to just lock down on Titus. I want to study it. And then I want to go read somebody else's take on it. You can read through this MacArthur commentary. I think it's probably got 10 or 11 chapters on it, in it. And you can really get a good feel for the whole book in a relatively short amount of time. And MacArthur, as I said, has the whole series. If you want to take a peek at these, I have the whole New Testament. Well, I'm missing Mark, but I have everything else. And I'd be happy to loan you one, and you could take it home and read through. These are helpful, very helpful, and easy to read. What I don't like about the MacArthur commentaries is I don't feel like he does a good job citing other sources. So you have to take MacArthur sometimes with a grain of salt, but I do appreciate him very much. And that there are others. J. Vernon McGee's kind of the classic through the Bible. There's plenty of other people who have taken it upon themselves to write a commentary on the whole book of the Bible. The whole New Testament, or the whole Old Testament. The challenge with that oftentimes is it's not as scholarly as a technical commentary, whereas, you know, a guy like Philip Towner probably spent years and years and years writing this, whereas somebody spends years and years and years writing something on the whole New Testament, you're going to get a less depth than if you devote your life or your whole career to certain books, or at least an extended part of a scholarly career to certain books of the Bible. So whole author commentaries, and then also what you might call devotional commentaries. These would be commentaries, maybe that there's a series of different people that try to approach the Bible in a way that just kind of getting the essence of. And so I think the classic one, and I didn't put this in your note, is called The Bible Speaks Today. That's a pretty good series. I recommend a couple in your notes that are newer and are being published. Right now you can get great volumes in the Preaching the Word series. Now when you see Preaching the Word series, you think, oh, I'm not a preacher. Well, that's not the essence of this series. The essence of the series is these are mostly sermon transcripts that you can read, and so they read a lot more devotionally, a lot more easy to read. And these can actually be quite pleasant to just sit down and read through. And I think I also included, although I don't have a volume of it readily available, the REC, or the Reformed, did I break it down here? Yeah, Reformed Expository Commentary Series, which is a newer series out that is absolutely excellent. And again, most of those are sermon transcripts, and so they're easy to read, they're easy to follow, they're not very technical, but they will get you a depth in a book of the Bible that you may be lacking. So if you're reading, you're studying a book and you work through it, you go, I really would love to listen to a series of sermons on this book. You could do that, or you could pick up one of these sorts of books and study. So those are kind of your big comment, those are my categories of commentaries. What I didn't put on there for me is I also like to read commentaries by old dead guys, because they have a different view on the world than I do. And so, but it's hard to find series. There's two. There's a Geneva series, and there's a Geneva series that are classic commentaries, and then there's a Crossway series. And there's lots of good classic commentaries. Again, Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, gives you actually a commentary on commentaries and picks his best commentaries. Most of those are old. Many of them are out of print. And so, all right. We're almost done. You want to go a little bit further in a different way? I would also recommend that you pick up a systematic theology. If you've never looked at a systematic theology, I pick one of these up. I think you can get Grudem for maybe $25-$30. It's a pretty affordable book. The cover price is $50, so maybe it's a little spendier. What a systematic theology does is it takes theological concepts and it systematizes them. So you want to say, what does the Bible teach about the Trinity? Strong's will not be helpful, right? Because there's no such word as Trinity in the Bible, right? But Trinity is more of a systematic doctrine. We've taken a lot of biblical concepts and we've said, how can we boil these down and summarize them or systematize them? That's systematic theology. You want to know about the Trinity, Grudem's got a chapter or two or three on the Trinity. And then you can see how the whole Bible fits together. Again, I would use this as a reference book. as you come up with various questions. What does the Bible teach about creation? What does the Bible teach about predestination? What does the Bible teach about the end times? A systematic theology is going to cover all of those subjects in a simple way. Now, of course, as with kind of going from a whole Bible commentary to technical commentaries, there's books this long on each and every chapter in this book, but this at least gets you a good start. I recommend Grudem. I find him to be about as balanced of an evangelical systematic that's out there. Of course, there's other great ones out there too that are older and newer. I don't agree with Grudem everywhere, but I do think that he's pretty great. He used to teach at the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, which is our denomination's seminary. So if you want to think theologically, you probably could read Grudem and like him most of the time. I think that this is a great resource to have. So, and of course, then you can go bigger and bigger and deeper, and you can build an awesome library. I try to funnel any books that I don't need to keep on my shelf down into the church library so that some of the stuff that I'm reading and some of the resources that I use regularly are also available to you. If you ever have a question about a book or a series or you want to find something, you can ask me. If I don't know, I know people that know. I have friends that are far more well-read than I am, and I can point you to resources to help you find good books. We live in a hugely wonderful time where these resources are available. I think I talked about systematic about theological famine relief. Grudem's systematic theology is one of the resources that's translated into tons of different languages. And then the Gospel Coalition they'll collect money, of course, to buy these. And then they'll do this thing where they find people. Oh, you're traveling to Beijing for a tourist trip. Can you take a case of these, and we'll tell you where to drop them off? And they send books all over the world to help people study deeply. So I have two more things to mention, but I want to pause for questions. So any questions about theological books, about other resources that can help you in your Bible study? Yeah, Cheryl. How come I'm missing the one on Mark? Because when I bought the MacArthur commentary set right before I moved here, they hadn't released Mark yet. Mark got released in the last couple of years, and so I just have not completed my set. I try to keep a little bit more of a minimalist library, which is hard to do when you're me. But so I haven't. I've tried not to buy books that I'm not going to use. And so if I could go back in time, I probably wouldn't have bought the MacArthur set, except it's a great set to loan out. I've had various people in the church. I know when Tim taught some Sunday school, I said, here, take MacArthur. It will be helpful to you. And done that with lots of other people. So, yeah, I just haven't got around to buying the Mark volumes. When you buy them volume by volume, these are all hardback. They're produced by, you know, there's not like, this says over 1 million sold in the series. Well, when there's 30 volumes in the series, that's really not, that's like 3,000, right? Yeah, that's not that many series sets sold. And so, you know, these books are spendy is what I'm trying to get at. You can't mass produce these things. And so, yeah, most of these books are going to cost you a little bit because they're not put out, you know, they're not printed for everybody in the world. And so, yeah, just haven't got around to getting Mark. One of these days I will. Anyone else have a question? All right. Well, last couple things to mention. One is if you want to play around with Bible study resources, I will in the next edition. I would highly recommend visiting blueletterbible.com. Blueletterbible.com. Blue Letter Bible is a free online Bible software. And so you can access Vines, and you can access Strong's, and you can access Matthew Henry, and you can access lots of other great resources for free. Blueletterbible.com. It's not the most user-friendly website, but it's better than it used to be, and it's a great place for you to study and go deep. If you want to know about, you know, you say I want to know a little bit about a Greek word in this verse that I just read. Go to Blue Letter Bible, look up the verse. You'll be able to find information. Blue Letter Bible is a great, wonderful, free resource that I definitely recommend you to use. And again, I think they have mobile apps as well. Now, if you want to, now let's say you want to study more about how to study the Bible, I would recommend two resources to you. One, and again, I'm sorry, I didn't put this in your notes. I kind of decided to do this at a late date. This is the book I would most definitely recommend. It's called Living by the Book, and it's by Dr. Howard Hendricks, who taught Bible interpretation at Dallas Theological Seminary for like 170 years or something like that. I think 50 years. He taught there. A faculty member at Dallas Theological Seminary since 1951. And I think he died a few years ago, and he was teaching like right up until he died. So I think he did log over 50 years at DTS. And this is, I don't know how many times I've read this book, and I'll read it again because I did not get everything the first few times through. This is a great, easy to read book that will help you get through, help you learn all sorts of different study methods. I taught this through a group of teenagers once, and so it's really not that complex. The chapters are short, Living by the Book. If you want to grow in kind of your skills and your abilities, I would recommend this. He'll walk you through a lot of basic things, very easy. A little bit more technical is a book called Grasping God's Word by Duvall and Hayes. And this is going to be a little bit more of a technical approach, but I again, relatively easy to read and easy to follow in terms of how to study the Bible. Of course, and that's called Grasping God's Word. Of course, the real key to all of this is not that you have a great library or that you have gone to school or that you can read Greek or Hebrew. The real key is that you have to have a love for God's Word, and you have to want to know Him, a desire. I love the psalmist, Psalm 119, he longs for the Word more than honey, more than gold, more than silver. He'll wake himself up in the middle of the night to get the Word of God. And so if you cultivate a deep desire and passion for the book, you will learn far more than if you just sit down and try to work through technical resources. It's one of the reasons through this whole series I keep saying, don't use your study notes yet. Don't use your dictionaries. They're great resources and you should use them, but in their proper place, right? We want to make sure that we know God's Word, that we love God's Word, and that we search God's Word, because there are treasures in here to be found. It's a discipline. It will make the biggest difference in your life. I love a variety. It's kind of a common saying amongst scholars, and especially those who train pastors. If they'll say, if I have the choice to read a commentary or read the passage one more time, I should always choose to read the passage one more time. It's going to do you more benefit than going to a commentary. And though these are very helpful, good resources, there's nothing better than the Word of God. And so go deep in this, read it regularly, read it wide, read it deep, and grow in your love for it. And you'll soon find that it's just all this stuff is just a lot of fun. And adds the flavor to it. So, any last questions before we close? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your good word, and thank you so much that we live in a day where we have so many great resources available to us. Would you only use that to whet our appetite for truth and for the word that you've given us?